Okay, let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the privilege to be together again, the fellowship we can have on Zoom, and how we value that, Lord. We thank you for your precious word, too, which we enjoy opening and reading from and going over a particular subject, topic. And so we ask you for your help, Lord, for the speaker and for the hearers alike, that there might be something this evening that would encourage and build us up in our most holy faith. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your work at Calvary that allows us to be here and to rejoice that our sins are forgiven, that we're on our way to heaven, and we're waiting for your soon coming. But in the meantime, we can enjoy your word down here in this world and live and walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. We have that privilege to do that, and just to honor you, Lord, and what we do, to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. So we ask you for your help tonight. We commit the hour to you in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So for the last 2 or 3 months, I've been looking at a subject from the scriptures. The two words, one another, you see it quite often in the scriptures. And I was amazed that as I go through the Bible and read how many times I see that, especially, of course, in the New Testament. So I want to go over several things, ways we are to treat one another, as recorded in the Word of God, the Bible. So the first one I think we need to start with is love. That seems to be the most predominant one in all these. It's associated with many of the others. And one thing I noticed about love, it's not only something, a way we should treat one another, but it's a commandment. It's a commandment. In John chapter 13, verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Here we have that expression, one another, twice in that one verse. In chapter 15, verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And in 1 John, we have that expression, one another, mentioned several times. In the chapter, I'll turn to it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And this is his commandment, that ye should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments." So it's, we love one another because Jesus said to do so. It's as simple as that. And, you know, other places in 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 11, for instance, we have another expression that same way, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So shows that we are born of God when we love one another. In chapter 4 and verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And it's because he first loved us, as we have later on in that same chapter, verse 19. Then in chapter 4, verse 12, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." So here we see, by loving one another, that it's to perfect his love in us. So we see how John spent quite a bit of time on this subject of one another, and especially on loving one another. In Matthew chapter 22, turn to that. In verse 36, it says, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So here we have, it's to fulfill the law, not the Ten Commandments necessarily, but the law of love. the law of love. So love, how important that is to show love one to another. And that proves that we love God. And it tells us in 1 John, I don't have the verse in front of you, about how if we don't love one another, if we hate a person, it's the same as being a murderer. So it's a very serious thing not to have love for one another as brethren. So secondly, the way we can show we are to treat one another is to show compassion. To show compassion. It's so very similar to love, but maybe a little different aspect. In 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 8, it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. So maybe the definition of compassion is more having pity or be courteous to one another. Or I think another definition would be to bless the other. And you notice in these things, it's all the other. It's not ourselves. It's how we're to show toward our love or our compassion toward another person. So thirdly, if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, a well-known verse there that we've read many times. It says, he that prophesieth or telleth forth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So these are three things in this one verse as ways we are to treat one another. And so I might go over each one of those three individually. Exhortation, somebody has said, is to stir up. Edification is to build up, and the comfort is to bind up. So we'll start with the first, with exhortation to stir up. And if we turn to Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, I'm going over these pretty fast. I know it's on tape, so people can always look them up later. But if I'm going too fast, just let me know. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So it's we need to exhort one another to protect us from sinning. And it says to do it daily. I don't know how many of you have noticed. I've done a study on the word daily, too, in the scriptures. There's about six verses that I'm aware of that says things that we're to do daily. In Acts 17, it says to read the scriptures daily. In Psalm chapter 86, we're to pray daily. In the Proverbs chapter 8, we're to watch and wait for the Lord's coming daily. And now we have this verse in Hebrews 3 to exhort one another daily. In Luke 9, we're to deny self and take up one's cross daily. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says that Paul says, I die daily, we're to suffer for Christ's sake, even if it may lead to death. And in many places in the world, it actually is leading to the death of many people. We call those people martyrs. They're dying for the sake of Christ. So those are things we should do daily. And it's a way we're to treat each other, to exhort or stir up one another. Secondly, in that verse in 1 Corinthians 14, we have edification or to build up. And in that chapter, and 1 Corinthians 14, we have edification mentioned several times. I know when we were going through that book in one of the Zoom sessions, we see how many times it was mentioned there. In verse 4, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth or telleth forth edifieth the church. So we edify the church by building them up. In verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except ye interpret, that the church may receive edification. In verse 12, even so ye forasmuch as ye are jealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And then in verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So there's a way that things are done that there is no edification. And then in verse 26, let all things be done unto edifying. So we see how Paul here in 1 Corinthians 14 had that subject on his mind quite a bit in this chapter. And I think we noticed that when we were going through this book on Zoom. So edification. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 11, we have specifically mentioned that it's to edify one another. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And so we're to continue to edify one another, to build them up. We need building up in our most holy faith, don't we? So we talked about exhorting and edifying. And then that other word in that 1 Corinthians 14, the first part of the chapter says, to comfort or bind up one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just back a chapter, verse 18, where it speaks about the Lord's coming, the rapture. And after going through and telling us what's going to happen, how the dead in Christ will arise first, and those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet him in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then it says in the last verse, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And truly, this is a comforting thought, isn't it? To know that the Lord is coming to take us home. And we're all waiting for that time, aren't we? We're longing for it. We say, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus, because we want him to come. And especially as we see how this world is getting darker and darker all the time. But the Lord's left us here for a purpose, hasn't he? You know, we're not to rush. And to give up, like some have done there. And is it Peter where we read that? Where's the promise of his coming? No, we're to wait for his coming. Watch, wait, and do his service. So edification, exhortation, and comfort we could do to one another so that we could go on for the Lord together. So the fourth one I wrote down is just serve. We're to serve one another. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. We're not under the law anymore, are we? We're called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We do it in love, not because we feel like we have to. But we love because the Lord asks us to do that, and we want to do that to please him. So we're to serve one another, and there's many ways we can do that, aren't there? In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, in verse 23, it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So when we're serving others, we're really serving the Lord, aren't we? The Lord was set the perfect example. He was the perfect servant, wasn't he? In Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26, whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So the Lord set the example for us, and we're to serve one another. And there's so many ways we can do that. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, it tells us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we desire to hear from the Lord as we serve him down here and serve one another, is to be told in that day at the judgment seat of Christ, probably, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's our desire, isn't it? So the next one I'd like to look at, the next way we can to treat one another, is by preferring one another, preferring others rather than ourselves. And in Romans chapter 12, I found a verse there that tells us that. Romans 12, verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. We're to honor the other, no matter who the person is. Remember, we're all made in the image of God, and God loves us equally. He's not a respecter of persons, and we're to prefer others before ourselves. This word, one another, I could have mentioned it. I looked it up. It means the same thing as each other or the other. You know, it's taking the attention off of ourselves and looking to the other person. What can we do to please the other person? One another. So preferring one another. And a couple examples of this, and I was thinking of Abraham and Lot. Remember when they both were gaining more cattle, and the land got to be too crowded for both of them, so they had to depart. And what did Abraham do? He gave Lot the first choice as to what land to take, and he would take second choice. That's preferring one over the other. And was Abraham had a loss because of that? Of course not. He wasn't. God blessed him for it, for being preferring the other. Abraham was blessed, and look what happened to Lot. He went downhill, didn't he, after that? So that's one example of preferring one another. Another one I was thinking of was John the Baptist. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, it says, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. In John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Matthew 11:11, it tells us there's none greater than John the Baptist. So do you and I want to be great? We want to be great. Honor the other. Honor the other. So preferring one another. So the next one is number 6. Is to be of the same mind one to another. Be of the same mind. We have that in Romans chapter 12 here again. Romans 12 verse 16 says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Don't always want to have the last word, maybe, would be a way to say this, you know. A lot of us are that way. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, read a verse there. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye be, all speak the same thing, and that ye be there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In Philippians 2:5, we're all familiar with that passage about the Lord Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, and how he humbled himself when he was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. The mind of Christ, humility. That's what we should be. Philippians 4:2. Remember the story there of Eutychus and Syntyche, and how they weren't of the same mind. And it says, they were encouraged to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I was thinking, you know, it's one thing to be of the same mind, but it could be the wrong mind. But if it's in the Lord, then it's the right mind to be in, isn't it? Be of the same mind in the Lord. So that's one way we should honor each other and treat one another, is to be of the same mind in the Lord. Nextly is submission. Submission. In Ephesians chapter 5, subject there is marriage, but right before it gets into the husband and the wife, it says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to the other in the fear of God. Submitting one to another. So this is a general statement. How, whether it's husband and wife or whoever it is, we're to submit to one to another and to learn from each other. And submission means yielding or rank ourselves under the other. That's hard for a lot of people to do, isn't it? And in the subject of submission too, it's a lot of it speaks about elders, how we're to have respect our elders and to submit to them. There's different portions of scripture that talk about that. I won't turn to them, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the elders should be feeding the flock. And so by feeding the flock, which we're one of, we submit to them because of their knowledge of the scriptures or their love for the Lord. So we submit and listen to them and be taught of them. And then Hebrews 13, 17, it talks about how elders, they watch for your souls. So we submit to them because they watch for our souls. In 1 Corinthians 16, and I'll turn to that one, 1 Corinthians 16, 15. Says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So submission again, they have addicted themselves to the ministry, and people that have done that, we can learn something from, can't we? By submitting to them and to their ministry. Always being on guard that what they say is scriptural. And that in this day and age is something that we really have to watch, because there's so much false doctrine out there that we have to be so careful. And it's often been mentioned in our Zoom sessions how, I think Sid mentioned how he went into one of the churches there close to where he lives, and he was shocked as to what was not said, how sin wasn't mentioned, the blood wasn't mentioned, and other things that are vital to us. And so the subject of submission. Number 8, fellowship one with another. We're to treat one another by having fellowship. And it's a wonderful thing on Zoom. Even though we can't be together personally, we can see people. And as I look on the screen, I mean, here's people from Phoenix and back, Henry's back in Ohio. And Clay's in probably San Diego if he's home. And so what a privilege it is to be able to have fellowship one with another when we live in different cities. And I live in Seattle. So, and other Zoom sessions, Don and I are on Zoom with England on Sunday mornings, and to see some brethren we've never met, or I've never met, and enjoy the fellowship together. So how important that is to show fellowship one with another. And First John, we turn to First John on this subject. First John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. By walking in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And in Acts chapter 2, you know, at the beginning of the church there at Pentecost, fellowship is one of the, as somebody said, the four-legged stool. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking your bread, and prayer. So fellowship was important right back at the beginning of the church, and in Acts there. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking the bread, and prayer. So fellowship is a very necessary thing, it says. It's vital, and I think we all appreciate it, especially those people who can't get out. And, you know, many people during the COVID situation and still on, of course, afraid to leave their house. And it's been, what, a year and a half now that maybe people haven't been out of the house. And so fellowship on Zoom like this is so important. And it's been a real blessing to me, too, even though I get out a lot. Number nine, consideration one for the other. And Hebrews chapter 10 is the verse that I found on this one. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, talking about the holiest we enter, perfect peace with God. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. And then in verse 24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. To provoke unto love. Let us, it says, all through the book of Hebrews. I know years ago I gave a talk on let us in the book of Hebrews. It's mentioned so many times. And Rachel Reeves came up to me afterward and said, Ron Reeves, my husband spoke on that subject some years ago. So let us, that's consideration for each other, to think about, regard the other person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 33, about consideration. This is an interesting one, and I thought about quite often. This is talking about remembering the Lord and how we come together to do so. And it says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And I know just last week at Larry Clausen's house, when we were getting ready to break the bread, Bethany had to leave the room because of one of the children. And so we waited until Bethany got back in consideration for her and before someone gave out the first hymn. And I thought that was nice, that even though the hour had come, that we waited and tarried for her so she could be with us at the beginning of the meeting. So, you know, some people may think this is a little thing, but I think in the Lord's sight here, it might says here, when you come together, tarry one for another. Be considerate to the other person. Number 10, show hospitality. Hospitality. First Peter again. Turn to First Peter chapter 4. Verse 9, 1 Peter 4, 9 said, use hospitality one to another without grudging. I thought it was interesting. They had that word without grudging. You know, many times when we're at a conference or something and we see somebody we haven't seen in a long time, and we say, hey, when you're out to Seattle, give us a call and stay with us. And, you know, a lot of times we don't think they'll ever do it, probably. But then all at once we get a phone call and here, versus I'm coming to Seattle. And they're expecting us to say, well, stay with us. And we think, oh, man, I have other plans for that. You know, grudging. Well, I think we can give up the other plans so that we show hospitality to someone who's coming from another place. And so they won't have to pay for a hotel. We can have them in our home. A personal example of this is Steve Tahn. I was mentioning to Don before we got on that Steve Tahn is coming up here on a business trip this next Wednesday. And he stayed with us before. And so we invited him to stay with us because there's no room for him in his daughter's home or Mary Alice's home. Not enough bedrooms. So our kids are all grown up. We have 5 bedrooms. So we said, stay with us. And so Steve is going to spend a week with us. So we can show hospitality that way. And I know a lot of you do the same thing. It's just something we do as believers, isn't it? And because we love our brethren, and we could do that for one another. We have been showed hospitality in many things. I remember telling the story about the time we were in England, where a brother up there made a phone call to somebody he knew, and And the brother he called said, have Daryl and Steve stay with us. We never met them. And we drove down to just north of London and found the house. And they welcomed us as if they'd known us all our lives. And we spent the night with them. And the next morning they said, we have to go to work. He says, when you get ready to leave, just put the key a certain place. And they trusted us. And they were believers. And that's showing hospitality, isn't it? in a great degree. We were just shocked that they would do that, but with how thankful we were. Show hospitality one to another. And I'm thinking of a couple examples in the Bible of this. And one is Lydia in Acts chapter 16, verse 15. Lydia, she says, come and abide in my house. Come and abide in my house. Very similar to what we just talked about. Then in 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite, remember? She prepared a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick for Elisha. The whole thing, everything that's necessary. And so we have the word of God to back us up in what we say here, isn't it? That we should show hospitality. And there's a couple good examples in the Bible, Lydia and the Shunammite, who did show hospitality. Number 11, we're to greet one another. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14, it says, I'll turn to it. 1 Peter 5, 14 says, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you and all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we have a similar verse in Romans 16:16, and there it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, there's different ways we can greet one another and show affection, isn't it? Not always with a holy kiss, but show affection by hugging or by shaking hands, even. That's fellowship we show by shaking hands with someone. And greet one another. And that's different ways we can do it. Number 12, to receive one another. In Romans 15, Romans 15, verse 7, it says, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. In other words, receiving people, not ignoring them or shunning. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He receives us. Then there's the example of Philemon, who was asked to receive Onesimus back as a beloved brother, not as a servant anymore, but as a beloved brother. And then there's the thought of receiving at the Lord's table. And how important that is for someone who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus, who is walking in a way which is pleasing to him. We're to receive that person. And I know some of us have experienced a lot of legalism in that in the past, where somebody in the assembly who's well known asks for their place at the Lord's table, and weeks go by and they're not received. And you wonder, why? This is something the Lord has asked them to do. And so we should receive one another as the Lord hath received us. Unless there's a specific reason why not to receive one another. And that way is the way we treat one another. Number 13, we're to forgive and forbear. This probably should have been toward the beginning of the list because it's so important. Forgive and forbear in Colossians. Chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, we know what Christ did for us, how he forgave us. He went to the cross and suffered so that we could have our sins forgiven. And he says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So Christ forgave us of our sins and iniquities, and we should forgive one another. And it says forbear. I think the forbear would have to maybe have to do with patience. Just be patient. Don't jump on someone and be too critical. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. So that's something we're asked to do, forgive and to forbear one another. Then in Colossians again, chapter 3, again, we'll go back to Colossians 3. In verse 16, next one, number 14, admonish. We're to admonish one another. And I'd always thought of the word admonish just to, you know, set somebody straight, that type of thing. But admonishing here, and the word is really more like exhortation, to exhort. And Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So it can be done through song, you know, and exhorting and admonishing one another, building them up, encouraging them. And then in another one, or to speak no evil one to the other. Speak no evil. In James chapter 4, verse 11. James 4:11 says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So we see here it speak no evil. And then another one we could say to do one to the other is to judge not. And we have that in Romans chapter 14, verse 13. I won't turn to it, but we got to remember that we got to be careful judging another brother, because he may have a mote in his eye, but you and I may have a beam in our eye, something bigger. So we have to be careful how we pass judgment on another person. And the last one I'd like to look at is in John chapter 13. Turn to John 13. It's the verses about the Lord Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And John 13, verse 14 and 15 says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And I read in one of the books I've been reading a definition of what this means, and see if you agree with it. It says, washing one another's feet is patiently enduring others' ignorance, errors, weaknesses, defects, any defilement that cleaves to them, that we may be the means of removing that which would hinder their fellowship with Christ and the Father. That's one way we can, I believe, wash one another's feet. How important it is to do so. I wonder, it's not literal. Yeah, I think it's the way we just read there, how we can do that. So we see all these things. I found 17. There's more, but I couldn't have more because of the time. But I think these are some of the main ones in Scripture, a way we can love and encourage one another and to treat one another. And you notice in most of these, we started out with love, we're to love one another. But in so many of these others, love was brought in too. I don't know if you noticed that. It says to love and to have fellowship, to love and do this, to love and do that. So love is a key thing. You know, it says faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is love. It's important that we prefer the other person above ourselves. We love each other. We're going to be together in glory someday, where there's no sin and things that distract and that maybe cause us to show our weaknesses and the way we treat each other. But what a privilege it is to know that, and as I look on the screen here, people, I can say I love each one of you. And we've had some wonderful times together on Zoom. And I hope these few scriptures, these remarks were made. I hope they're all from the Word of God. I'm not one to make a lot of personal comments, but I'd like to go to the Word of God because I know that can be trusted. So anyway, I'll close in prayer. Then if anybody has any comments or anything to add, feel free to do so. God and Father, we thank you for your precious word that we've seen so many verses that speak of how we're to conduct ourselves one to the other. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can work on these things, each one of us, that we're doing that which is according to your word and pleasing in your sight. And we want to honor you. And we're thankful that we have these verses. We thank you for we have this precious book, the Bible. And we just feel for those people who don't have a copy and how they want a copy of it. And we wish we could provide every one of them with one. But we aren't able to do that. We could pray for each other. We could be thankful for each other. And so we do so tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your help as we went over these verses. And just ask you for a special blessing over each one that was on tonight. And we give you thanks in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate your comments there. I think many are aware that we've had on our heart for a number of years now this matter of unity amongst God's people. And I think if we took notice to your 17 items there, I think we would have that. And I think it's interesting to see what you've got on your list there. It really levels the whole playing field, as people say. There is no one that is more important than another. We all need each other. Mm-hmm. Loving one another, forgiving one another, having the same mind one to another, fellowship one with another. And I think people are aware on these Friday nights, we try to draw speakers from as many places as we can. Everybody has a little something to share. And we want to encourage that. We don't have any special speakers. We look to see what every brother has on his heart that could be a blessing for the rest of us. And so I would be hoping that others would have joined in a little more frequently, but they probably have other things they're doing. But I'm just so thankful that we've had a number of speakers to come along and share what they've enjoyed of Christ. And we need that because no one person has it all. This matter of honoring one another and having the same mind one for another, submission to one another. It's, as you mentioned, it's taking our place under another person. Right. I don't see anywhere on your list where it says to take a place over another person. Take a place under. Well, that shouldn't be too hard for us because we all know our faults and failings before the Lord, and we don't know each other sometimes, and it's easier to keep in mind that I can exalt the brother above myself because of his love for Christ and his appreciation of the Word of God, and knowing my own faults, it should be easier for me to take a lower place. So just a few thoughts there. Maybe there's some others that would like to share some things as well.
You made a comment on it shouldn't be too hard, but it is really hard. And it's good that we have this many reminders of what our position should be. And as you said, we'd have a lot more unity if everyone understood this. I like the illustration of the Lord washing the disciples' feet and what you said about that, Daryl. It's really hard to get down on your hands and knees and take the lower spot to wash someone's feet. We don't mind being equals, but we struggle to become lower or to humble ourselves before someone else. And the verse in Ephesians that says that man not to think more highly than himself than he ought to, but he ought to consider others better than himself. And I could always find something in someone that they were better than me at. But when I thought I was good in something, when they were good in that, was I willing to humble myself and submit in that situation? And it were their ideas and the way they planned things and things that I considered to be my strength, was I willing to accept that they were better, that their ideas were better? And that really took some doing for the Lord to work on my heart, so that I started to see that just because I didn't think of it, or just because it wasn't my plan, or just because they were doing it different than I would have done it, doesn't make it wrong. And doesn't mean that I shouldn't support it or endorse it. And that was a real struggle. So it's just not being on a level playing field. Unfortunately, the playing field needs to slant with me at the bottom and the rest at the top. And when I understand that and start seeing others better than myself, that's when I can start making progress in these one another's.
I think an example of that too, Clay, is in marriage, you know, where we always like to have our own way in that. And how often do we let our wife give an idea, and then we say, yeah, that's better than I was thinking, you know? So we really have to work on it.
Well, as you know, some of you know, and I do marriage counseling, and sometimes it's whether you think it's a better idea or not, you run with it to encourage that person.
Right.
It might not, you know, you brought up a great idea about hospitality, doing reluctant hospitality. Well, we can humble ourselves reluctantly. And we let everybody know, okay, we're going to run with that idea. We're going to try that, but that's not what I would do. And I don't think it's going to work. And I don't think it has a chance, but because you want it, that's what we're going to do. And that's that same idea of doing something reluctantly. And that's not, as you read those verses, that's not what the Lord's interested in us.
Right.
You know, are we really truly submitted and humbling ourselves? And if we are, then that's a great idea. Let's do it. And not later saying, I knew it never worked, or I told you so. Or, I mean, that's really hard. You know, our pride really gets in the way, and we want to be proven right. And you know, in all these one another's, as you read them, there's very little room for pride in there.
Right.
I've got an example of grudging hospitality. There was a brother that came through a area and stopped in for the local reading meeting one evening. And somebody asked him, do you have a place to stay tonight? He says, no, I don't. He said, well, you come home with me. So he went home with him, and his wife was there and brought a friend here. Brother needed a place to sleep, brought him home. Well, a little while later, this brother that was visiting was on the stairs with his foot up on a stair a little bit higher, tying his shoe. And the lady comes by and swats him on the backside and says, that's what you get for bringing somebody home without telling me first. Well, that's one of the things you don't do.
I have a similar story that we invited a speaker, and the person said, yes, they can stay with me. And I did. And then after they came up to me and go, don't ever ask me to have someone stay again. And I said, okay.
When we first got saved, we were raised in the Roman Catholic community. When a person, now a fellow believer, but another person got saved, and the way he talked about the Lord, I'm sure we didn't read by then that you have to love him. Automatically, we knew if he was talking about the Lord that way, we did love him. It was a...
Amen.
No Catholic can talk about the Lord like that. We learned things reading. Well,
Eldon, that's a good illustration of leaving your first love, too. When you find someone, I know that people who love my wife, I'm very attracted to. Because I love her and they love her. They're good people if they love my wife. And it's the same thing. And when we leave that first love, that we find someone who loves the Lord, we don't have that same reaction anymore because we don't love the Lord like we should. That's our problem. We're not attracted to people. That's an excellent illustration of that fact, though.
Exactly.
Amen.
But the Lord is still Lord. No matter how many years you put in, it should get better.
Yeah.
As you were going through all these things, Daryl, and everything, that, and, you know, as I was writing them down, and there's accumulating the list, one word came to mind, and that was family.
Yeah.
Oh.
And, you know, the one another, it's talking family, you know, and how we would treat our family. I mean, you know, I've mentioned, you know, oftentimes to, you know, in other places and everything, where sometimes we consider our brother and sisters, you know, oh yeah, he goes to the same church as I do. No, he's my brother. you know, it's got to go from they go to the same church to this is my brother and sister, you know, and it's like Eldon, you were saying, like, you know, like the Catholics or anything, like, you know, to the unbeliever that may go to church, that is what it is. They go to the same church, but here with the fellowship of believers, it's family. And here we are here. There might be just a few of us here that might go to the same fellowship, but we're family. You know, we are family. And that's the, anyway, that's the word that I thought of as I was writing all these things down. And family.
Well, Henry, did you have some thoughts you want to share with us on this?
Yeah, Daryl, thank you. You know, if you happen to have that list printed in a printed form, you could email it to me. I'd sure love it. That's, you know, that is something you can sit down and then walk away after reading it and be so encouraged and challenged too, because there are some times that we don't do that. We don't do some of the things that are there. After you were finished, a verse came to me, and I'm not sure if you mentioned it or not, because I don't really have that good a memory, but it's in one of the Old Testament prophets, I believe, minor prophets, maybe, I'm not sure where. It says, and they that love the Lord.
Malachi 3:16.
Ah, my wife has it. Malachi 3:16.
Oh, yeah.
And they that love the Lord, I guess, I forget. I can't even quote it exactly. Spoke often one to another.
Very good.
And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and there was a book written or something. I just can't quote. But anyway, that was so good. And I'm so glad you didn't overlook Romans 15, verse 7, receive one another. That's my little pet peeve. God bless everybody.
but I missed the one in Malachi. Henry.
Anyway, then my wife gave me a treat right at the end. I don't know if you saw me munching on something, but she just took two loaves of bread out of the oven. And wow, I was enjoying that. So thank you, dear.
Very good.
We would share it with all of you if we could do that.
Well, I usually say it's a thought that counts, but it doesn't go very far sometimes.
Right.
I wonder if David Wright's going to have a thought for us tonight.
I don't know if it's a thought, but a comment. I was thinking the same thing you were, Joe. Kind of, you know, coincidentally, yesterday I was looking at a book online and thinking of buying it. I haven't read the book. I don't own it. And it's called My People is the title. I just was really struck by the title that he chose, My People. You know, it's really something. And that's how, you know, what you were saying, Joe, I mean, really, we're family, right? I know people say we're going to spend eternity together, but, you know, there's a bond there that surpasses even unsaved blood relations, right? But thanks, Daryl. I mean, you brought that. That's was a really good trail to take us through. I enjoyed that. Thanks.
Well, Daniel, we'll ask you now if you had something to share with us.
Well, just appreciated all those thoughts, Daryl. That was really nice to think about. Loving one another, comfort one another, build up one another. It reminds me, a while ago, some guy was describing to me about Boys Town in Omaha, I think, Nebraska. And the motto is something like, he's not heavy, he's my brother. And I just thought, if we could just have that attitude toward each other, we could forgive one another. We could comfort, encourage, help one another, you know, and all the things that you mentioned there. So I just appreciate that.
In the Buena Park study last night, which several people here were at, one of the things we talked about was he closes Second Peter with the fact that we need to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were thinking about how you grow in grace. Well, I would suggest reading this list of one another's over and over again would help you grow in grace towards your fellow brethren.
Well, Daryl, maybe you might have a few thoughts just to wrap it up here, and then I'll leave it up to you how you want to close the meeting.
Okay. I just want to mention a hymn that I intended to read and forgot to do so. It's a hymn from the little children's book, Let's Sing About Jesus. And even though it's a children's song, I think it talks about what we talked about tonight. It says, angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the love of Christ, or may the love of Jesus ever fill the heart and keep the lip. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey his blessed command. Angry words, though lightly spoken, do not suit the child of God. Happy fellowship is broken by a single angry word. So if somebody else would like to close the meeting, be happy to have them do so.
I will give thanks. Father, we thank you for your love displayed to us through Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for revealing your Father. And now we as believers in him and what he has done for us at Calvary, we are part of a family. We are thankful for that, Father. And we pray that some of the truths we heard today will just stick to us, that we'll wake up tonight while we're in bed and meditate on it. And we pray that this message will bear fruit in our lives, because we know we fail. We are failures often, Lord. So help us through it all. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.